Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. As we have our Communion Sunday today, the Lord's table, I'd like for us to look at that passage this morning before we partake. So let's look at verses 23 and following, and let's start at verse 17, and we'll work our way through this passage to get a little bit of the context as Paul is instructing the Corinthian church concerning the Lord's table. They had some problems, and if you're familiar with the book of 1 Corinthians, he is addressing problem after problem after problem after problem after problem. With every new chapter, there's a new problem that Paul is having to address and bring correction. And unfortunately, in chapter 11, one of the problems is concerning the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table. It says in verse 17, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it." Now, he's already mentioned that in chapter 3. "For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye may not come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." Let's pray. Father, again, we do come to thee. We ask that you may bless now as we look into thy word. May we set aside the cares and distractions that we have in our lives that so easily draw us away from having the Holy Spirit use your word as you deem best and fit in our lives. May we be receptive vessels this morning as believers to understand the nature of the Lord's table, that we may be worthy partakers this morning. For the lost, may they see their lost condition, even in this message this morning, that they are apart and unable to partake because they've not understood the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and that he did it for them. We pray that you do that work that only you can, and we'll rejoice in what you accomplish in our lives, conforming us into the image of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. As we look at the Lord's table on this, our Sunday that we take partake of the Lord's table. I thought it would do us well to take a look at this passage. I trust it's familiar to us. We often will read it, at least I will, for communion, and we will work our way through this. But I want us to kind of step back a little bit and take a bigger picture, bigger view of it to understand what we have here. And as we've noted, Paul is instructing the Corinthian church. They had problems. And I think as you read this, it becomes evident. It seemed like they made this into a fellowship meal. And I brought my food for communion, and you brought yours for communion. And I had my food at communion, and you had your food for communion. And he notes that some just weren't able to bring. And they were left high and dry. Here it is, we're having communion, and there's a person sitting over on this side, and they don't have any bread, and they don't have any juice. And others over here having a bounty, and they're feasting and having a joyful time. And Paul is saying, this ought not to be. This is not how we do communion. You go home and eat. You have houses to do that in. You have your meal at home. The Lord's table is not a meal, as it were, for the church to come together. It's different. It's a time of remembrance. And we see that in verses 24 and 25. The Lord's table is a time of remembrance. As he notes this twice, and many churches will have on their communion table this phrase, "This do in remembrance of me." He notes that in verse 25, and he brings it again in verse 24 and 25, as he speaks of the bread and he speaks of the fruit of the cup. These things you do in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. We remember his body that was broken and bruised for us when we partake of the bread. We remember the shed blood that he spilled on the cross of Calvary, shed for us so that our sins could be cleansed. And as we partake of the fruit of the vine, we remember that shed blood that cleanses us, makes us whiter than snow. But we do this in remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are taking time to stop, reflect upon, and think about Christ's suffering and sacrifice freely given for us. And I trust that we do. I'm not trying to correct us. I'm just kind of getting us all on the same page, as it were, as we consider these things. It is a time to stop and remember what Christ accomplished on the cross of Calvary. It's not a beautiful scene. Maybe we've gone to museums and we've seen pictures, or we've seen them in books, of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. I have yet to see one that actually and accurately portrays the image of Christ on the cross. 700 years before that event, Isaiah speaks of it in Isaiah 53. And he reminds us that that image is so horror-stricken that we don't recognize that person as a person. His visage, his form is so marred. To be whipped with a cat of nine tails was a gruesome thing. And many often died just from that before they ever got to being nailed to a cross. Most of the pictures will have a few scratches and scars. They'll put the spear wound in his side. They'll have a crown of thorns on his head. And we can clearly recognize it's a person. And yet, Isaiah reminds us that's not what took place. It would be a sight that we would turn our eyes away from. And it's time to think on that he did that for you and for me. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. With his stripes, we're healed. It's because of that sacrifice that we have life, and we have it more abundantly as believers. So it is a time of remembrance, of looking back and seeing that this took place because of my sin, your sin, the sins of the whole world. And it is a sobering time, yes. It's a time of remembrance. It's also a time of proclamation. Verse 26. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. It is a time of proclamation. Christ accomplished this. We do show the Lord's death till he comes. We show it. We proclaim it. We publish it. We declare it. And so as we come together as a church family to partake of the Lord's table this morning, it is a proclamation. We are declaring amongst ourselves and for any visitors that we have here, and we may have visitors. I recognize a lot of faces, but there are some that I'm struggling with, so maybe you are a visitor and I welcome you here. But it is an opportunity to show those around us, whether they're visitors or not, that this is what we do as believers. We remember that sacrifice that Christ did on the cross of Calvary, paying the penalty for my sins. And we rejoice in that. We're thankful for that. But we proclaim it. And by also implication in that, we are declaring our reliance upon God for our salvation. Because we are remembering what he did on the cross of Calvary. Yes. That he who was just bore the sins of the unjust in his own body. God's justice for sin needed to be served. And God in his wisdom knew that we as individuals could not do that, because that would mean spending an eternity in hell, in torments, in punishment for that sin that we've committed. But God in his love, his wisdom, his mercy, sent his Son, robed in human flesh, dwelt among us, lived the perfect life that we could not, and then died an ignominious death, bearing the punishment of our sin in his own body. That is hard for me to fathom. That in those moments, those hours that he hung on that cross, he was bearing my eternal time in hell in his own body. And not just for mine, but for every person that has lived or ever will live on this earth. It's as if all of that was wrapped up in that few short time, and he paid for it. He bore it. God turns his back on him. And Christ cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now he knows the answer to that question. He's just repeating, he's quoting Psalms. But he's noting, I am away and out of fellowship with my own heavenly Father, because I am bearing the sin of the world. It's hard to fathom that. But that's what he did. Because he loved us. John 3:16, one of the most quoted verses. Most people will know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why Christ is there on that cross. So what he was declaring to Nicodemus when we have that verse there in John 3. He's showing Nicodemus about why he's here. I'm here because I love you. I'm here because you cannot pay for your own sin and gain heaven and be in God's presence. But by my substitute, you can. So I asked that question this morning. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Are you trusting in that finished work that Christ accomplished on the cross of Calvary to have cleansed you from your sin, washed it away? What a joy to understand and know that. And so it calls on us as believers who have. And we acknowledge that, yes, I have trusted Christ as my Savior. I believe in that finished work that He did. He did it for me. And I have a new life in Him. And we proclaim that as we partake. And we're relying on Him because it is that finished work that saved us and keeps us. The Lord's table is also a time of thanksgiving. Notice verse 24, back up a little bit. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said. There at that first communion, as God institutes it, they give thanks for the bread and they give thanks for the fruit of the vine. It's a time of giving thanks. God, Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Christ, for willing to come and be my substitute. Thank you, God, for loving us in doing that. Providing that which we could not do ourselves, you have given that which has fulfilled your just demands. Thank you. It's also a time of anticipation. You notice towards the end of verse 26, he says, "For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come." Christ is coming again. Do we anticipate that? Appreciate Brother Gay mentioning some of that this morning. The way this world is going, and I'm of that same stripe, I believe we may very well be the generation that hears a shout and hears a trumpet and we're gone. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ will be raised, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, and we'll meet our Lord in the air. Can it get much worse? Well, we know in the scriptures it will get much worse than what it is. But our world is a pretty messed up place right now. Ripe for God's judgment, yes. So may we hear that trumpet and that shout. Every generation has believed they may be that generation since Christ left. But it is a time of anticipation till He comes. There is that eschatological aspect to the Lord's table. We partake of it truly in anticipation that this may be the last time. He may come and take us home. And I know for those of us that are older, that seems like a very bright and wondrous prospect. Because we've lived our lives. And we have more friends on the other side than we have here. I was taking care of an older man in our church in Montana. And he was talking about that. He turned 87 last October. And as he goes through the small town of Columbia Falls, and we would talk, he would relate, I just don't recognize anybody anymore. That I used to meet so-and-so, and I used to meet him, and the guys from the lumberyard, and on and on he would go. He realized. I said, "Well, Howard, most of those friends are on the other side now. They're waiting for you to come. Try to make new friends with those that are younger." But we find ourselves in that spot. You know, we're younger, we think, "Oh, but I want to live my life. I still have life to live, I hope." We may not be as anxious to go to heaven, but may we have that anticipation. And believe me, I think when we get to heaven, whether old or young, we'll look back on this life, if we even look back at it, and say, you know what? It's far better here in heaven than back there on earth. Whether young or old, that's going to be our thought alike, because it's a perfect place. And as we partake of the Lord's table, it is anticipation. Again, this could be the last time. And as Christ told his disciples in Matthew chapter 26, as he's giving and instituting the Lord's table, he says, "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." This may be the last time we partake of it on this earth. But praise God, there's coming a day when we will partake of it in Christ's presence. And that will be glorious. We have him here, yes, in spirit, but we will be physically in his presence then. And that will be glorious. The Lord's table is also a time for self-examining. So you look at verses 27 and 28 as he's given the instructions of this is how we are to partake of the Lord's table, Corinthians. He says in verse 27 and 28, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." In a sense, we're not worthy of it, but we can be worthy partakers. He continues, he says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." God's desire is that we as believers who gather together partake of these elements here in just a little bit, so that we can remember what Christ accomplished. But he says, you need to be in a position where you are a worthy partaker. That's where the examination comes in. It's not my duty to say who can and cannot partake. I do not know your hearts. I can't know your hearts because I'm not God. And so we take time to examine, Lord, is there anything between my soul and you that would stop me from partaking? Is there sin in my heart? Is there sin in my life? And if we cannot confess it and take care of it now in this quiet time, then we need not partake. Because then we're partaking unworthily. Because we're remembering the very fact that he died for my sin. And if we have sin unconfessed, we're throwing it as in essence back in the face of God. I don't care what you did, Christ. I'm going to partake anyway. And so I encourage us to take that time and ask the Lord for that open heart. And if there is sin, to confess it. Ask his forgiveness. He's told us if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have that promise so that we can partake. It may be that we have been, something comes to our minds that God brings to our attention that we must take and have a time with someone else in order to get things right. Then do not partake. And as soon as you can, go take care of it. Settle the problem. Get things right. And then you can come back to the Lord's table and partake on the next time. But it is a time for self-examining. You examine yourself. Not me examining you. Not the deacons examining you. But you. You know your heart, your life, far better than anyone else aside from God. So we take that time to examine, to see that we can be a worthy partaker. Because note what Paul says to them as he continues this passage. We often don't read it. Verse 29 and 30, he says, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation," or judgment, "to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." We're sin, there's sin, and yet we've not taken care of it with God, but we're remembering that Christ died in our place for our sin. It's incongruent. It says, "For this cause," verse 30, "many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." A euphemistic term meaning many are dead. Paul is noting, some of you have got God's hand of judgment upon you because you have not gotten things right with God. And so his chastening hand is upon you, and to some of you, to the extent that he took you home to be with him. And so it is a time to consider and look and make sure that we are able to partake. Because if we aren't, then we need not partake. There's nothing wrong with that. I'd rather err on the side of caution than to partake and find ourselves with God's chastening hand upon us. Because whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Because he wants us in a right relationship, a right fellowship with him. And so we'll take that time here in just a moment to stop and ask the Lord to search our hearts, see if there be any wicked way in me, and cleanse me, cleanse us. We should be walking as children in obedience with our God on a daily basis. And may we do so, because that's the best way to serve our Lord, is in obedience. And the Lord's table gives us an opportunity to bring ourselves into that focus, that we are here walking in obedience to our God, loving him, serving him as he would have us partake. One of the greatest blessings of the gathering of the church truly is remembering the great sacrifice for our sins with the death of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we partake of the bread and the fruit of the vine. It's a great time. It's a remembrance time, as we've already noted. And so may we come with humbled, cleansed hearts, humbled and cleansed hearts, as we remember his death till he comes. So I'll ask the deacons and the men to come forward, and we'll take the last part of our service to remember the Lord's death, his sacrifice for our sin this morning.